Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
There we are. Eddie Chavez here. Jesus 911. We are 10-8. We're my regular partner. As you can see, I have a different partner here with me today. Terry Barber's with me. Jess is out doing some apostolic work, right, Terry?
Hey, man, he'll be gone for the Terry and Jesse show, and I'll have Father Murr on replacing him for that day. But Jess will be back in the saddle on Monday.
Monday, yes. And today we picked some topics that are very manly topics in terms of the evil that we're going to discuss. As you know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here at Jesus 911, we always speak about spiritual warfare, things that can get us into trouble, things that we easily recognize, and some things that maybe not so much. So today we're going to talk about both those things. And Terry, let's just get started here.
Yeah, well, Eddie, you sent me this article, and I was like, wow, Fox News came out. It just seems like more and more secular media are connecting with the diabolical because it's so prevalent out in our culture now.
Yes, and you know, it'd be nice for them to admit what it really is, but although they don't.
No.
But it's interesting. The first article we have here is about some cursed tablets found in a 2,500-year-old Greek well. So each of these tablets is engraved with curses. Mm-hmm. So the cursed tablets invoke the god of the underworld in order to cause harm or curse others. Again, it's unclear who ordered the curses, but Jutta Strasek, she's a director of the excavation on behalf of the German Archaeological Institute in Athens, told the Greek City Times that it's unclear who ordered the curses because they are never mentioned by name, unlike the recipient. So here we have the curses, Terry, on the actual tablets, but they don't say who gave or who issued the spells, but they do have the persons that it was directed toward. Mm-hmm. And so this is the issue, Terry. Even though once somebody has consented to do this, that's already, you're already in troubled ground. You're already in prohibited territory, spiritually speaking. The damage is already done. So it doesn't matter if your name is on there or not.
Eddie, in the article, it says most of these curses are what we call binding spells. They aim at binding or inhibiting the performance of a rival. A lot of them have to do with like legal cases. You know, they say things like bind the tongue and the thoughts of so-and-so who is about to testify against me. You know what this reminds me of? 2,500 years ago, this is before Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
But they're still doing that. President Trump had binding spells against him because they didn't want him to become the president of the United States. You remember reading about that?
Of course.
And so it's nothing new. It continues. I guess my point on this article is that the devil's been at this a very, very long time, and we human beings have a fall in our human nature, and we want to try to take an advantage by using the occult or something supernatural to beat our opponent, whether it's in a boxing ring or in business or in politics. And it just seems that this case is really just an old case of people trying to utilize the occult to get to their advantage. So I'm sorry to say, but like I say, the issue of going to court over somebody. And Eddie, just a thought, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I keep going back to listening to you guys on Jesus 911 talk about how the devil gets in. And a lot of times he gets in because we want power. We want to be able to have, you know, sex. We want to have money. We want to have the power to overcome our opponent. And when someone says, oh, well, you need to, you know, you need this, you need that, you need to turn your life over to Satan, he'll give it to you. And I've seen this in people's lives, Eddie, where when they've done that, their whole life gets turned upside down. And, you know, many times they never recover, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right, Terry. You know, the It's really the same old story. We always go back to trying to get heads up on the future. This article specifically talks about three types of magic. So human sacrifices are classed here mm-hmm. with various occult and magical practices because they were believed to possess powers for averting calamity. Three categories of magic here are divination of the future,
yes,
black magic by a sorcerer or one who casts spells, and a necromancy. And that's one who consults ghosts and spirits. And so, Terry, this is the same old story. This is the same devil in a different suit coming to human beings and prompting them to ask for something that's beyond their knowledge. They're not supposed to know this, but they try to anyway.
Eddie, a quick story to make your point, and that is Father Martin Lucia, a priest friend of mine, was in Australia, and he was giving out Holy Communion to the sick in the hospital. And to make a long story short, it was miraculous how the host multiplied. He was only getting give Holy Communion to one soul, but there were 50 hosts in the ciboria because he didn't have a pyx. Yeah. So he said, I guess I must have to give out Holy Communion to the other patients. Well, there was one man that hadn't received. He had one host, and he looked in. There's a room, and the guy's hiding in the closet. And he says, excuse me, sir, are you Catholic? Why? Get away from me, priest. Well, Father says, okay, but I'll leave you, but why are you so upset with me? He says, because I made a pact with the devil 40 years ago. Wow. And the pact was that I could have all the women, the money, and prestige if I gave my life to the devil. And the devil told me that once I did this, there's no going back, that I can't return back to my Christian roots. And Father Martin looked at the man and said, the devil's a liar, and what he told you is wrong. You go to confession right now, and you can get back with Jesus. And basically, he got the guy to go to confession and repent, and he died the next day. Here's the power of that story. Anyone listening right now who's into the occult, you can turn this around by turning your life over to Christ, by going to confession and getting all those sins washed away in the blood of Christ.
Yeah, Terry, you know, people have to understand that, yes, if you get into the minutiae of the occult and you start giving spells and doing such things, mm-hmm. you're going to have a difficult time getting out of it. What we've learned through exorcisms over the last 2,000 years.
Right.
But the reality is if you just, let's say somebody's hooked on horoscopes, let's say somebody.
Ouija board, whatever.
Ouija board, something just tapping into it. You can stop that immediately and save yourself a whole bunch of problems in the future if you just stop the behavior, go to confession, and begin to live in a state of grace. But yeah, Terry, this happened in Keramikos. It's named after a community of potters that once lived there, according to the Greek Ministry of Culture and Sports. So this is something that's, I think, very interesting for us to note because in Deuteronomy 18, Terry, it talks about this specifically. And you know, that's Deuteronomy 18 is our go-to verse when it comes to divination and soothsayers and augurs and sorcerers. Mm-hmm. You know, those names actually evoke something different. Like a sorcerer, for example, I remember doing a talk on that. And a sorcerer comes from a word where we get the word pharmacy. And they were the ones that were passing out potions to women in biblical times to abort their baby.
Oh, no.
So this has been going on for ages.
Eddie, today in our culture, people that are in the entertainment industry, I'm told by some former Satanists have told me this to my face, that entertainers would come and say, what do I need to do to become the top in my industry? Like a famous singer or movie star. And many of them went into the occult and gave their lives to Satan. And actually, they did move up. Satan was able to do it, but their life was horrible. And so in our culture today, you know, our listener individually, this could be happening to you where you're being tempted to do terrible things, sinful things. And you're saying, oh, no, I won't do. Here's the point. As long as you're living in the state of grace, this is the key to overcoming spiritual warfare. The devil can't do a thing to you. So if you're living that state of grace, going to confession at least once a month, that's the minimum. I go a couple times a month because I'm a sinner. And I want to be in the state of grace when I die, and I hope you do too. But the way do you protect yourself from the devil is by living a holy life.
That's it, Terry. You know, it's very simple for us, yeah. And we just don't get it. You know, we keep going generations and generations, yep. And people keep trying the prohibited way, what Jesus told us, what God the Father mentioned to people thousands of years ago, that you know, no soothsayers, no right. Diviners, but people keep trying it. Here's another article, Terry, of the same of the same issue. Here's sure. It's called A Witch Bottle.
Yep.
A witch bottle discovered under a Virginia highway. This happened in Williamsburg, Virginia. A glass jug found under the median of Interstate 64 in York County is believed to be a witch bottle left by Union soldiers during the goodness. Civil War, yep. According to researchers at the William & Mary Center for Archaeological Research. Terry, when we come back, I want to share a small story.
Good.
There's an old program called The Twilight Zone.
I remember it well.
And the guy I think who created most of those was a guy by the name of Rod Serling. Yeah. He died in 1975. But the reality is he did some research with some of these shows. Some of the shows that he put on were kind of silly and this, but I'm going to describe a show that he talked about. That he created that had something to do with what we're talking about today, and highlights the evil even in the Civil War times back several hundred years. So that's important.
Can't wait to hear it. You're listening to the Jesus 911. Terry Barber's filling in for Jess Romero. Pray for Jesse. He's out there power preaching all over the country right now. He'll be back in the saddle on Monday. And don't forget, Janet Smith, Professor Janet Smith, will be on the Terry and Jesse Show with Father Murr talking about Humanae Vitae on sexual morality. When we come back, I want to hear Eddie tell us that story. I can't wait. Get yourself a cup of coffee, tea, and we'll be right back. I want to mention, too, I got to be mental. Hello, this is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35 and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for You, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911. This is not Jess Romero. It's his partner, Terry Barber, for the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm filling in. Eddie has an amazing story he's going to share with us. But Eddie, I wanted to mention something we've never done at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Right. And had a Catholic mental health conference with Dr. Louis Sandoval. Now, he's the gentleman that came to the Spiritual Warfare Conference in January. And I thought, I said, people loved him because he understands the difference between mental illness and what's spiritual warfare. In other words, it could be from the demonic.
He's on the exorcism team in Orange County, Terry, so yeah, he's able to distinguish.
And he's going to be talking on all kinds of things like depression, anxiety, oppression, obsession, bipolar disorders, psychosis, schizophrenia, all kinds of things. And I love this. He's going to also have a talk on drug use, because from his perspective as a doctor, how drugs can alter the mental status versus demonic influence. This is going to be a great one for our Jesus 911 listeners. If you want to register, no, you should want to register. Just go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can call. There's people upstairs right now. Call 877-526-2151. It's April 25th, so it's coming up quick, and I would like to see you there, because any of our Jesus 911 listeners should not miss the opportunity to learn on the spiritual life and also mental illnesses from Dr. Louis Sandoval. Eddie, I'm ready for your big story, brother.
Yeah, Terry, you know, this is we're talking about a witch bottle which was found in Virginia.
Yep.
under Interstate 64 there. And this reminded me, Terry, because they tied it back to Union soldiers during the Civil War. Mm-hmm. There's a Twilight Zone that I know Rod Serling must have did some research on, because there's a direct tie to this, and it has to do with black magic. It's one of the spells that we talked about in the previous article. But the episode is called Still Valley, where there's a Confederate Army scout who's sent to scout a town where the Union Army was thought to be.
Yep.
He finds a sole Confederate sympathizer there who's controlling the Yankees. They used to call them the damn Yankees.
Yep.
Through black magic, okay? Yep. Because he's going to die on that day. He asked the Confederate scout to continue using the book of spells. It's a witchcraft book. Mm-hmm. And when the Confederate soldier asks the Confederate soldier to keep continuing to use the book. But when the Confederate soldier gets back to his unit, he starts to chant out of the book because they're losing the war. Yeah. The South obviously lost the war, and they want something to help them. They were feeling the same motivation we were just talking about somebody that wants to improve their ability to win the war, to do other things. And when he starts to chant the spell contained in the witchcraft book, It requires him to deny the divinity of Christ.
Wow.
His Southern faith, this Southern soldier's faith, prevents him from going further into the spell. They burn the book, and they basically resign themselves to losing the war. It's a very beautiful story, I thought. I always loved Twilight Zone.
I
so,
did too.
Yeah, but that refers strictly back to the Civil War era, and I think that's why he did a lot of research on those shows. But this article talks about how the Union troops were likely tasked with holding and repairing the fortification whenever they had reason to expect Confederate assault. That's what Joe Jones, the director of William and Mary Center for Archaeological Research, say. He says, but later research revealed the bottle's real purpose was a witch bottle. The bottle warded off evil spirits, or that's what they thought. An afflicted person would bury the nail-filled bottle under or near their hearth, with the idea that the heat from the hearth would energize the nails into breaking the witch's spell. An article published by the university read, and 200 witch bottles have been found documented in Great Britain. However, less than a dozen have been found here in the United States.
You know, on a side note of that Civil War, you probably have heard of with the term hooker, in the sense of immorality of a woman selling herself. Well, there was a general hooker during the Civil War on the South side, and he allowed women for prostitution to come and commit mortal sin with his troops. And if that, now here's the interesting thing about it. Mr. Hooker ended up dying of syphilis himself.
Oh my God.
And so I know that he was participating in many serious sins. And I would imagine, just knowing what I know, he's the kind of guy who's going to be opening himself up to the occult because of his sinful behavior. So, he died a terrible death. And I think of all of the soldiers that are responsible for that. And just a side note, this has nothing to do with this article, but a friend of mine, a Vietnam vet, good friend of ours, he's probably listening right now. He was in Vietnam in 1965. And I won't say the officer who told all 5,000 soldiers in the Vietnam War, "Hey, gentlemen, go down and have your fun with these women in Vietnam. Have all your sex you want and come back and we got a war to win." Here's the point. This hasn't changed. You see, the devil has been doing this job for a very long time. And I know for a fact, even today in the military, there are people who think that it's okay to commit these mortal sins and have no consequences at all. But here's the point. They're being deceived. And who's the deceiver? Satan.
Terry, it's funny you bring that up because that brings me back to a story when I was working. And there was a guy in my unit that was a very great policeman.
Good.
And, he told me this story one time. He said, when my kid turned 21, he was going to go in the Marine Corps. And so what I did is I took him south of the border and I bought him a prostitute. And so he could learn how it was to be with a woman, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, and I thought to myself, why would you do that? Why would you corrupt at the most vulnerable part of their life, Terry, where they're going to go to war? You hope that these individuals, Terry, actually repent of their sins. You know, somebody has syphilis, like you said about Captain Hooker. You hope that what happens in this world leads them spiritually to repent of what they did here and realize that it was something horrible. Yeah, hope so.
Well said. And you know, Eddie, this is why for us fathers, okay, Dad, I'm talking to you right now. You got to lead by example. Your kids are not going to follow you if you go, "You do this and I do that. It's because I'm in charge." We've got to lead by example. You got to be holy. You got to lead that family with the family rosary. You got to get them to mass. You got to get them to confession. All these things are your job for a dad. And when the dads don't, do that, you're opening your kids up to all kinds of bad things. So, I mean, I'm just going to say, I can't guarantee you that the kids are going to turn out virtuous Catholic men and women. But my point is, we have a responsibility before Almighty God. When you meet God, he's going to say, "Terry, Eddie, Mike, Mary, what did you do with the children I gave you?" And that's a big, tall question to ask all of us. So all I want to say right now is Lent is coming up. Next Wednesday's Ash Wednesday. This is a good time to make some spiritual commitments, especially on the spiritual life, especially on demonic stuff that's going on in our culture, to say, you know what? I'm going to start the family rosary right now at my home as a dad. Or I'm going to get the kids, we're all going to confession, it's Lent, we're going to make a practice from now on, at least once a month, we're going to get the kids to confession, we're going to go to 31 Flavors after the confession, make it a good experience for that too. The point of it is, Dad, you are the leader in the family, and the way you go is the way the family goes.
Terry, you're absolutely right. And this is why Jesus 911 specifically, Terry, talks about these things. Because you know what? This life is short, Terry. I remember when I was a young father with small kids, not paying too much attention to the faith. But this is the reality of it. We are giving these children, these children in this life for a short time.
Oh, my God.
And Terry, you and I both have older kids. We understand this now more clearly than we did before.
Amen.
And the reality is this. If we don't help bring them to Christ, we're going to be responsible.
Yep.
I'm talking to the men out here, Terry, because you know what? The reality is they don't hear that often.
No.
They don't hear it often. They certainly don't hear it in church because there's nothing but women there. Nowadays, you're not going to hear that from men. That's why get a hold of a good men's group, get a hold of a good Bible study, mm-hmm. and go there, because this is what manhood is all about.
Well said.
Yeah. Okay, Terry, the next... article I want to talk about a little bit here is another thing that men have to hear. It's called Watch Your Mouth and Soul. And this is what it talks about. It says, Doesn't Scripture, James 3, 5, 6, warn that the size of the tongue is no measure of the power of it wields? That just as the tiniest of spark can ignite a great forest fire,
yep,
the smallest of words unwisely spoken can cause immeasurable harm. So this is what it's talking about, Terry. It's talking about how men talk today in 2020. It's very concerning to Catholics, and it should be to everybody. It says, how true is this? Not just pertaining to gossip and slander, but profanity. The immeasurable harm is often to ourselves. So if you accepted a sermon of a preacher, this one is an example of Kenneth Scott, who seems well-versed indeed. It comes to the Bible. It's not just the God and the Jesus Christ, which are used as curse words that people say so frequently, they utter them so frequently that these are words better classified as outright blasphemy, which is a mortal sin. In fact, those expressions are not just ill use of a name or affronts, but curses against the creator of the universe. Can you imagine, Terry, men talking in a way that exactly cursing the creator?
Whenever I hear that, after the break, I'm going to give you what I do, because I hear a lot of that, especially when I was a professional umpire. I heard a lot of cursing out on the sports field. And I'm going to tell you a quick story on that. I hope it'll inspire you to do the right thing, because many times we have no response at all. But, you know, we can sanctify even somebody's blasphemy by saying a certain thing that I'm going to mention after the break, because this is a real good practice. I was taught by a very holy priest who told me to start doing it. I think it was 35, 40 years ago he taught me that. Hey, just a quick note, go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We, under events, we have a lot of different events. Jess Romero, Eddie, you guys don't know this, but Eddie and Ruben are going to be doing the men's conference together in June. Yeah, it's going to be a great, great conference. And it'll be happening June 13th here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. That's another one you don't want to miss. Jesus 911's men's conference. I love it. I'm going to be there. I hope you will too. You can register for any of these events by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or do it simply by calling. There's people upstairs right now. Call 877-526-2151. And by the way, I get to tell you thank you for all you monthly donors for the Jesus 911 and all of our shows. We can't produce these shows without the support from you. And I just want to thank you. I've not done that on Jesus 911 ever, so I want to do it now from the bottom of my heart. You guys are great to support us. If you want to become a monthly donor, call us at 877-526-2151. When we come back, we'll have that story of what we can do when we hear blasphemous comments, especially us men, whether it's at the ballpark or at work or wherever. We'll be back with much more with Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies. Featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Eddie Chavez here with my second partner, Terry That's Barber. Right. Terry, you were going to tell a story about how to react when somebody blasphemes the Lord.
Yeah, they use God's name in vain. And this was, I said, when did you hear that? I said, Eddie, it was a long time ago. Well, you know when it was? It was 1978, because I was at the MI conference, which was a four-week course for young men studying their Catholic faith. It was a Polish priest, and he told us that when you hear God's name in vain, you don't have to say it out loud. You can do it under your breath. Say, praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. And you see, it is making restitution
right
for the blasphemy.
Yes. It's canceling out their abuse of the Father, Terry. So you're doing two things. Mm-hmm. You're canceling out a debt, and you're helping that person to get closer to Christ because that won't be counted against them for what you did, and that's a beautiful thing.
And I would actually encourage you. I took it to another step during the day. I've encouraged people. We call it living in the presence of God by saying these little prayers during the day. We give thee thanks, almighty, all-merciful, and all-loving God, for all the blessings that I have received from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Say that prayer during the day. My Jesus, mercy. All these little prayers keep you in the presence of God.
Those are short little ejaculations, Terry. That's what we're called to do. And I first learned this in a book I read years ago where the characters in the book were actually listening to conversations, talking, and as the other person's talking, they're praying at the same time.
Wow.
That's a beautiful thing, and I still do it to this day when somebody's saying things that I think they're probably a little off, they're misguided in their thought process. I always say a little prayer because who knows? You light the fuse, you don't know when it's going to explode, and that's something that we need to do.
Well said.
Terry, this article goes on and says it says here, the Witchcraft of Profanity is a book that came out, and it, words representing, for example, excrement, and we know what that is, that's sugar, honey, iced tea, can raise spirits that then cleave to us or others. So even the mention of that, that sullies us. And how many are dirtied by their mouths, from comedians to major politicians in our own time? A highly popular podcaster who had made the use of profanity a trademark of his broadcasts, especially the F word, actually looks dirty. That's because foul language brings an unclean spirit to us, Terry. If you listen to them talk in such a manner or immerse yourself in a movie with expletives, and especially the Lord's name, your own countenance has been darkened and needs to be cleansed through prayer and confession. Only a pure white soul can gain direct entry into heaven.
Time out. I need you to repeat exactly what you said, because right there is the reason you want to have a clean mouth. You want to get to heaven? Look what happens when you use a foul mouth. One more time, Eddie.
Yeah, here's what it says. If you listen to them talk in such a manner or immerse yourself in a movie with expletives, and especially the Lord's name, your own countenance has been darkened and needs to be cleansed through prayer and confession. Only a pure white soul can gain direct entry into heaven. Terry, that's what we should be looking for, to get directly into heaven.
Exactly.
No stop in purgatory.
And that's the answer you give to someone. They say, oh, I watched this movie. Oh, it had some bad scenes in it, but it really was a good movie. My principle on that, and I know I sound like a strict person because I try to have what I call custody, not only of the eyes, but custody of the ears.
Right.
And so I said, I don't need to watch that movie because I don't want to. I don't want to hear that. I only want to hear things that are going to build me up in the Lord.
Terry, I want to read 2 Corinthians 11 because this talks about what we're talking about here. Good. It says, "And what I do, I will continue to do in order to end this pretext of those who seek a pretext for being regarded as we are in the mission of which they boast. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers who masquerade as apostles of Christ."
Wow.
"And no wonder, for even Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So it is not strange that his ministers also masquerade as ministers of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Terry,
oh my
gosh. We could talk about an hour on this.
Yeah, and Eddie, just when you read that verse, what jumped out at me today is the sexual abuse problems in the Catholic Church today. Yeah. I mean, in my own diocese, I grew up here in the San Gabriel Valley. Three of my priests who became bishops all fell to sexual sins and had to be, removed. Now, they were supposed to be holy men. They're supposed to be spiritual fathers.
Right.
And,
they were masquerading,
Terry.
They
were masquerading. And in a sense, we also have that not only in our church, but in our families. We have dads who are alcoholics, who are drug addicts and participating in it right now, but they're living a double life. Well, I'm here to tell you, knock it off. I'm here to tell you, get back with the Lord, because it's never too late to start again. And if you fall, I only have one question. Did you get up? So that statement from the Bible should inspire all of us to stay focused on Jesus Christ.
Terry, you reminded me of something Father Crappie used to say.
Oh,
he said, this is what Father Crappie said about falling down and getting back up again.
Yeah.
He said, "It's not a disgrace to be wounded on the field of battle.
I love it.
It's only a disgrace to give up on the field of battle." We never give up, Terry. We got to keep going.
That's another one of the things you got to repeat. It's not a disgrace. What?
It's not a disgrace to get wounded, to be wounded on the field of battle. That's life. But it is a disgrace to give up on the field of battle.
Perseverance.
Amen.
Wow.
It talks here about because the power of our words as speaking spirits, Christians can ignorantly use that power in the negative to put a curse on someone's life just as effectively as a witch or a sorcerer.
That's serious.
Words, he argues, draw forth actual spirits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, says Proverbs 18:21. So, Terry, this is talking about how many good, God-fearing, active Catholics have you heard use words like sugar, honey, iced tea, or any of the other ones? And this is what I'm talking about, Terry. This article talks about somebody that used that word from the pulpit.
Not only that, Eddie, this also applies to us when we see somebody whether it's a politician or a leader of a country who's evil, and we say, he can go to hell. No. Mm. You see, we can't say that. That's wrong. We want to say, I hope and pray he'll repent and become a Christian and come to know Jesus. But we have temptations to say, oh, let that guy go to hell. Oh, who cares about Saddam Hussein? No, we have, as much as he did some evil or Hitler, we still have to pray. And now, is that easy? No, I'm not saying it's easy to do. Are you kidding me? How can you? I'll give you an example. I'll give you a quick example. We just mentioned it on Tuesday's show. I had not heard it. Couple in Australia, they're Lebanese, and a drunk driver ran over their three kids. Mm. And the mother and father forgave the man.
That's amazing.
Killing the kids.
Amazing.
I think it's supernatural.
Yes, it is.
Because naturally, you would be angry.
Of course.
And you should be angry, but they brought it up to the supernatural level because of their faith. And I think that's what we have to do, even among the evils. I say this right now. I see people wanting to become the president of the United States that are evil people.
Yep.
Because they say it. They say such horrible things. But what do I say? We pray for their conversion. We can't just say, blow them off and say the blank with them. No.
Because, Terry, the article says, and I happen to believe it's true, that we do curse somebody by saying those things.
Right.
I remember a leader of a country, and I'll mention the country in a minute, who got up to the podium and speak after President Bush spoke, saying, I could smell the sulfur. Well, that guy was Hugo Chavez,
yes,
who was the president of Venezuela,
yep,
and now that country is they're trading fruit for toilet paper. I mean, this is where they're at right now.
And I remember how he died. A very, very sick death.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, when you play with the devil, it's bad news.
When you here's another Father Crappie-ism here. He says, when you dance with the devil, he'll have his way with you.
Absolutely. That was the one I was trying to think of. Thank you, Eddie.
It talks here that profanity is a rebellion, and 1 Samuel 15 tells us that rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. There you see, again, how wrong the spirits are raised. So when a person using a profanity, even though they do not know what they are doing, says Scott, they are doing the exact same things, just as witches and sorcerers use words, spells, and incantations to bring up evil spirits for their evil purposes. Profanity does the same thing. And so that's just the proof, Terry, that when we talk badly about, and that, maybe this is one of the reasons why gossip is a sin, because gossip is talking ill about somebody else, yeah, and it's not good for their soul or our soul. The profanity used for the fornication of the F word can bring forth spiritual fornication and even imply the violence of rape. When someone uses these terms, it is a demonic summons for evil.
Wow.
Demon spirits have sexual intercourse with them or the person to whom they are aiming or speaking these words. He claims for our discernment. It is a general call for all kinds of unclean spirits to move in and out of them at will. If that person's spirit is open and not carefully guarded, demon spirits will come up upon the use of request of these words and attempt to dwell upon and with them.
Well, so here's an action item to do. Lent Wednesday. Next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. You have an issue with your language and you want to clean your act up, put it as one of your action items for I'm going to give up for Lent using any bad language and also ill will. That's a tough one towards my neighbor. Boy, now you're really meddling with me. But you know what? This is how we get closer to Christ, because actions have consequences. Using that language will corrupt you and take you away from Christ. So what are we here for? Jesus 911 to do one thing: introduce you to the person of Christ and get you to heaven and his holy mother, the church. So Eddie, this is powerful stuff. And I really think it's a good idea for all of us right now. Make a commitment for Lent. No bad language, no ill thoughts, no condemning people, and keeping an attitude of gratitude, because that's welcome just about everywhere.
Yeah, Terry, it sure is. So we have to make sure that we do that. That's like Terry said, that's an action item for Lent. It's here in a few days. We have a perfect opportunity to do that. I sure will do that, like I try to do every year.
Amen, bro.
Okay, so we'll be right back after this short break with Jesus 911. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And don't forget, we've got a great show coming with the Terry and Jesse Show, Dr. Smith, Janet Smith, on Humana Vitae at 11 o'clock. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four, talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to St. Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, welcome back. Eddie Chavez here. My regular partner, Jess Romero, is out doing some apostolic work. I'm not even sure what state he's in now, Terry, but he's
in Indiana with 1,200 men for a men's conference. And Jesse, or Eddie, he's going to get up there. I talked to him yesterday. I know 1,400 men are registered, and he's going to tell them, okay, before my talk, you guys get your phone out, download Virgin Most Powerful Radio's app so that you can start listening to me every day.
I don't doubt he's going to do that, Terry, so we'll have some extra listeners. Terry, one of the last things I wanted to talk about with this article, and something that's so prevalent now, something that we need to think about, because this I think people believe they're skating from sin when they're using these proxy words. So this is what it says. Even proxy words, gosh darn, an endless array of others, are wrong to some degree if the intent is to imply what the actual profanity says. How many of us, for example, know Catholics that are returning to their faith and they're trying not to use these curse words, Terry, but they're using the substitute word for it. And I can think of some here, but it wouldn't be appropriate to say. But in any event, they're using words that sound like and imply the bad words. So they're just using another curse word.
Yeah.
That's something that we have to call them on. And I remember an aunt of mine saying the word Jesus all the time, and I finally got her out of that. Even a Protestant at work, Terry, I remember Zeke, who used to say those things all the time, and I would tell him, hey, every time you say that, I'm gonna say a Hail Mary prayer, because you're sinning by using. And his father was a pastor, so he didn't realize it. He did stop doing it. But that's something that we need to do, Terry, because Psalms 101 says this, is, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me, says Psalms 101. So that's a good Bible verse to know. Don't put anything wicked in front of you, because it'll cleave to you if that's the case. Okay, we're going to go to the last article, Terry. And this was really a very sad article.
Yeah.
But this is what it said. More than 2,000 fetal remains found last year in Illinois were laid to rest at an Indiana cemetery. So it shows a picture of Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill speaking at the burial service, which was February 12th, just earlier this month, at South Lawn Cemetery in South Bend, Indiana. And it's actually for more than 2,400 fetal remains found at the home of an abortion doctor. So this is what it says. The discovery was made after the death of a doctor who performed abortions. The shocking discovery of 2,411 medically preserved fetal remains in Illinois left in a garage and in the trunk of a car was horrifying to anyone with normal sensibilities. And Terry, you and I talked about normal sensibilities. I think that an abortion doctor committing, doing these many abortions and retaining that many in his home and in his car, there has to be some diabolic factor involved in that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, again, I've met Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who performed over 75,000 abortions over decades. He had a conversion and became Catholic and died a holy death. the man who did this really was the, as the article said, he was the doctor for an area where everybody had to come to him because in the Indiana area, they had a lot of pro-life laws, so it was difficult to get an abortion. And this Dr. Ulrich Kopfer, is that how you pronounce it?
Ulrich Kopfer.
He died at age 79, and as far as I know, he had to be dealing with some demonic activity because he was carrying these little babies in containers as if they were trophies, like if you hang a deer or an elk in your living room. And so you don't do something like that without really being, I'll use the word, messed up in the sense of your life and having, what I would say, demonic stuff going on in your life, because the devil is always going to do just the opposite of what good is. And killing unborn babies and then holding them as a trophy, are you kidding me? This man definitely had some spiritual warfare going on that wasn't good.
Terry, they say 165 remains were found in the trunk of one of his cars.
That just tells you.
Well, you know, this goes to show you that it wouldn't seem to me that an individual that died when this occurred, you know, and they found this after his death, he didn't repent, Terry. If he would have repented, he would have said, hey, listen, I'm repenting of these. You need to go to my car. You need to go to the house. Pick these, get these fetal remains, give them a burial or something. And Terry, I'm telling you the devil is just waiting. Just wait. He participates with us that allows us to sin. And then once we do sin, then he becomes the prosecutor saying, now Lord, you need to send him with me because he sinned.
And this man was aware of weekly demonstrations by Christians outside the clinic doors. He saw people saying, stop the killing. And so, you know, I feel bad for this man because he lived a life of killing the future citizens of America and considered that like a trophy. And again, that's a wicked person. Objectively, he's doing something wicked. And I want to just pray for his soul and also pray for all these doctors who are performing abortions, because many of them look at the money that they can make and go, well, whatever, you're going to pay me the money. It's amazing what people will do. Follow the money. He made a lot of money with this.
Yeah, Terry, he sure did. And the good thing is his family probably didn't agree with him based on what they did. They found these things. They notified the authorities.
Yeah, right.
And here's a picture of the memorial. It says, in memory of the 2,411 precious unborn buried here on February 12, 2020. Terry, this is something that that people are not, they're afraid to let people know about this. And this is why I'm glad this attorney general in Indiana did this, because these fetal remains would not have been buried in a dignified manner, in a Christian manner, if this wouldn't have been found out. So I give him kudos for that.
I do too. And Eddie, this is why in 10 months, when we have another election coming up, we Christians have to vote pro-life, because we don't want to see this continue in our country. We've had 50 million babies aborted since 1973. And I have to say this, Eddie, what really bothers me, and I'll just be honest, that most of the people who voted for these politicians who want to be president of the United States, many of them voted, over 50% of the Catholics voted for Mr. Obama back in 08 and 012 and 12. And I find that reprehensible that we as Catholics haven't taken the mission of the life issues. And so when people say, well, that's all you guys talk about, well, you know what? What other issue is there if you don't have life? And that's why I want to encourage everyone to get out and vote pro-life in November, because we've got people, and I know they say you can't say anything. I can say names. Bernie Sanders said it right clearly. He's a socialist, okay? He promotes communism. He's for killing unborn babies. Don't vote for that man. Please look at the platform of the parties, and then make your judgment based on your Catholic faith, not on your pocketbook. I understand Bernie wants all the young people's bills for their schooling to be abolished. And that's a temptation to say, I want to vote for him.
Of course.
But young people, listen.
Yeah. They have to understand there's consequences for your actions. Yeah. If you're Catholic or a Christian and you understand this, we should listen to what Jackie Appleman said. She's executive director of the Right to Life in Michiana. She said that we're not burying clumps of cells. Amen. We're not burying pregnancy tissue. These are human bodies.
Well said.
This is the beautiful thing, Terry. We have to understand what exactly we're doing. The devil will try to distract us and give us the bright side of things. There's no bright side to abortion, but that's what he's trying to do here.
Right.
But it says, you know, because of the unreliability of the records, he said the site was chosen in Indiana to memorialize him. And that's a good news story, Terry, out of this horrible find of 2,411 fetal remains is that they did get a Christian burial. They were buried, and then God does what he will. And I happen to think because of the Bible verses about the children that he will bring them into his fold, even though they weren't baptized. Because guess what? God makes the rules for us. He doesn't have to follow them.
Exactly. And again, the life issues are essential to life. I mean, without having a being the right to life, you have no other rights. I don't care. Someone says, oh, no, we gotta take care of this. No, without life, there's nothing there. Eddie, to wrap it all up on this whole issue is we've got 50 million babies since 73 that have been aborted in our country. We need a change. And right now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've seen changes happening. We've got the most pro-life president ever, Mr. Amen. Donald Trump. He went to the March for Life on the 22nd to stand up for life.
First time ever a president has attended the Right for Life, the National Right for Life. That's an awesome thing to have. And he should mention that, Terry, because people are going to listen to those things.
I just heard his speech out in Phoenix, and he was talking about that about the right to life for our future citizens. And I just so refreshing for me to see. Mm. And again, I'm not saying Mr. Trump is like, you know, perfect. Are you
not
going to
canonize him, are you, Terry?
He's the best we have, in my opinion, for our life, for our Catholic faith. That's just how I see it. Now, I'm open to someone showing me someone better, but I don't see anything on the other side that even comes close.
No, Terry, you know, I know that a lot of the other, some of the other candidates have family members that are talking about why Pete Buttigieg is doing this or that or the other thing. Yeah. I mean, it's very obvious that they're just trying to get their foot in, Terry. That's what's happening. They're trying to get their foot in. And you know what? I think that we're going to succeed with having a pro-life president in November. And don't forget to pray. Don't forget to vote. Just because it looks good doesn't mean that it's something that we can count on. We always have to pray for these things, that's for sure.
Well said. And I want to remind you, for those who just tuned in at the end, we have the Catholic Mental Health Conference with Dr. Louis Sandoval coming up on the 25th of April here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. It's going to be a great conference, especially dealing with depression, anxiety, oppression, obsession, all these things that we have to deal with when it comes to spiritual warfare. He's an expert on that. I'd like you to come and join us by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151.
Terry, as always, we always remember, especially on a Friday when we have the weekend to look forward to, we always remember our battle cry here at Jesus 911, which is Quis ut Deus, which translated means who is like unto God. That was St. Michael's war cry as well when he was faced with expelling the devil out of heaven after the fall. So we thank St. Michael, we thank our Blessed Lady, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us to another day of Jesus 911. Have a good weekend. God bless you. Stay tuned for Gary Machuda. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.